So I will briefly, in a moment, give you Emily. She's been the Assistant Information Commissioner since October 2012, after being the Acting Information Commissioner, Assistant, since August 2011. Her former commission with the Office of the Information Commissioner of Canada was General Counsel and Director of Legal Services.
So I think when we were talking about putting the panel together, what we thought we would do is look at three distinct but overlapping themes. And the first we would just sort of say the state of access to information generally. And Teresa Carluccio is going to be providing us with a view of the state of access to information. Teresa began her career as a notary in 1987. She holds the position of an administrative judge with La Commission d'Accès here and is here in Montreal, I believe. And then we'll turn to Alan Conter. He's a part-time faculty member here at Concordia, where he teaches courses on law and ethics in the journalism faculty. He's also an independent media consultant and writer and critic. He was formerly an executive producer at CBC Radio and I believe was the creator of Brave New Waves. He is a regular contributor to the arts and music section of the Globe and Mail. So he's going to talk to us a little bit broader about access information, where Canada and Quebec stands in comparison to other jurisdictions. And then on my left, directly on my left, we will move to the theme of open government. Jonathan Brun will be talking about open government and access to information. He's the co-founder of Montréal Ouvert, a citizens action group that lobbied the city of Montreal to create an open data portal. He's also the board president of Open North, a Canadian nonprofit organization devoted to improving Canadian democracy and citizen engagement through the use of technology. And he's the CEO and co-founder of Mnemonic, an online tool to track environmental health and safety laws and perform audits and verifications. And the third theme will really be sort of a pragmatic talk about using access to information legislation. We have Mike D'Souza here to talk about his experiences. He's a national affairs and political reporter and is going to give us his insights on using the information here and federally and in Quebec. And he covers issues concerning energy, the environment, Quebec and federal politics, and he is a Concordia journalism graduate. So I think we're going to be in good hands. So looking at access to information in Quebec and at the federal level came into force 30 years ago exactly for the federal legislation and in 1982 in Quebec. In Canada, there's no one single model for the enforcement of access legislation. Federally, we're an ombuds office. We don't have order-making power. We can't require the disclosure of information. We make recommendations and we mediate complaints. In Quebec, it's set up in the form of an administrative tribunal, and Teresa will talk a bit more about that. And provincially, you have a commissioner with order-making power, so it's a bit in between the two models. We've also seen over the last 30 years a real evolution in the status of the right to public information. I think it was initially conceived as a quasi-constitutional right, which means in the Access to Information Act, it says notwithstanding any other law, so it sort of takes precedence but is not actually constitutionalized. Recently, and I think Alan will talk a little bit about this, the Supreme Court of Canada found that it was in fact part of freedom of expression in certain circumstances, so it's evolved into more of a constitutional right. Internationally, numerous international bodies and international human rights courts have recognized the right to information as a fundamental human right. So we're really seeing an evolution of the right to information. And the other thing that we've seen really take off over the last 5 years or so is the open government movement, which Jonathan will talk about, which is sort of the open data pushing out information proactively from government institutions. And the formation of the Open Government Partnership in 2011, which Canada joined shortly thereafter. So despite all this, there are a number of issues that have been identified. I think just in October, all provincial and federal territorial commissioners signed a joint statement calling on their governments to to review, to modernize, and to strengthen access to information laws across Canada. Our office is working as we speak on the recommendations that the Commissioner intends to present to Parliament. As part of that, she had an open dialogue on the internet with Canadians, asked them a series of questions, and she will be looking at tabling that report in the coming months. So I think that was just my 10,000 foot high overview of a number of topics, and I think what we'll do is just turn it over to Teresa Caluccio, who is going to speak to us about what the situation here is in Quebec.
So the Commission d'accès à l'information was created about 30 years ago, as Emily mentioned, in 1982, when the National Assembly unanimously adopted the Act respecting access to documents held by public bodies and protection of personal information, which I will refer to in my presentation as the Access Act. The Commission is composed of 7 members or administrative judges, and they're appointed by the National Assembly for a 5-year term to sit in either of one of 2 divisions, the Oversight Division or the Adjudicative Division, of which I am part. All in all, the Commission is a rather modest-sized organization. Only about 50 employees work for the Quebec Access to Information Commission. The Adjudicative Division is responsible for reviewing decisions rendered by public bodies in access to documents and to personal information. It is also responsible for hearing cases that are made with respect to examining disagreements relating to access or rectification of personal information in the private sector. As far as access to public documents, the annual report 2012-2013 indicates that the Commission received about 861 applications for review concerning access to public documents and 78 applications to disregard a request for access thought to involve a large number of documents. Okay, all in all, this represents about 1,000 different applications for review. So you can understand that if you do the maths with about 4 administrative judges that work in this division full time, we hear about 500 cases a year. There's a number of cases that are never before us because they get mediated by a team of professional lawyers who are expert in access to information, and the parties decide to withdraw their applications after being satisfied through the mediation process. In Quebec, every person has a right of access on request, the request must be made to the public body, to documents that are held by a public body. This is provided for in Section 9 of the Access Act. The right to access public information is an individual right found in Section 44 of the Quebec Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms. And this section provides that every person has a right to information to the extent provided by law, that law today being the Access Act. There are thus no requirements for residency or citizenship status before requesting access to public information. The Court of Quebec in February 2013 confirmed the Commission's decision that status or the interest of the requester is not pertinent when examining access to a public document. Thus, the reasons why a particular document is required by a person, who the requester is acting for, or what the requester will do with the information he obtains are not pertinent to examining his request. Another important aspect of the right to know, as it exists in Quebec law, is the concept of what is a document. Well, indeed, not all information can be accessed by law. First off, only information inscribed on a medium is considered to fall within the scope of the right to access. The concept of document presupposes thus that information appears on a medium in the form of words, sounds, or images. We may also refer to databases as documents, in so much as the database allows for the creation of documents. Since only documents may be accessed by the Access Act, this brings us to realize that the right to know does not encompass the right to question the contents of the document, or to obtain explanations on how the document was drafted, or to question the author about conclusions or methods used. Equally, the right to access is limited to documents held at the time of the request. So if a document has been known to exist but is no longer held because it has been destroyed according to a data retention calendar or schedule, the right to access does not enable the requester to ask that the document be created anew. The right to access public documents does not include the right to ask for the creation of new documents that have never existed, such as documents which may require computation or comparison of information. A document, when released in whole or in part, is done so on an as-is basis. Lastly, the Access Act provides for a number of exemptions or restrictions allowing a public body to withhold information requested, either in whole or in part, by redacting exempted material. The exemptions are many. They have been enacted in order to protect legitimate interests. Some exemptions are mandatory, so the public body must refuse to release the information. For example, Section 28 of the Access Act provides that information must be withheld by a public body involved in the detection and repression of crime if its disclosure would likely interfere with an investigation, disclose the identity of a confidential source, or reveal investigative techniques. Other exemptions are of a permissive nature. Thus, the public body may refuse to release the document. For example, we have Section 40 of the Quebec Access Act that provides that a public body may refuse to disclose a test intended for the comparative appraisal of a person's knowledge, aptitudes, competence, or experience until the test is no longer used. Other exemptions include personal notes, documents where we find personal notes, draft documents, preliminary documents, or information, and this is really, I'll mention it very generally, but this very specific conditions apply. So information affecting intergovernmental relations, pertaining to the economy, administration of justice and security, administrative or political decisions, and auditing matters. Now, these exemptions are found in Section 2, Chapter 2 of the Access Act, and I would rather than lengthen my presentation, because they are very technical exemptions, invite you to go and take a look at them. Furthermore, the Access Act does not apply to a number of public registers. As you can imagine, public registers contain public information that are accessible to any person. So, in for example, land registry systems or information on rôle d'évaluation, these public documents are excluded from the Access Act because they are, as of such, public. Also, generally, personal information held by a public body is considered confidential. However, the Access Act does provide that certain personal information has a public character and may be released. For example, Section 57 provides that the names, titles, duties, classification, salary of the management personnel of a public body is public information and would be released on request to a person seeking it. One important principle recognized in the Access Act is the idea that where a document contains both exempt and non-exempt information, the public body must redact and disclose the non-exempt part. This obviously avoids the pitfall of including exempt information in a document in order to render the whole work inaccessible. Okay, so I'm just going to rapidly look at some of the procedural aspects to exercising an access right. So, most important, if you would like to contest eventually a denial to a document, a refusal to access the document, the request must be made in writing to start off with. Only written requests may be reviewed by the Commission. I have noted that an increasing number of requests are addressed to public bodies by email, and this will largely facilitate your submitting your request. It must be addressed to a person responsible for access. The names of people responsible for access in public bodies are all on the Commission d'accès website, so you can go there and look at who is the contact person. And if you're unsure, because it is a public body and somehow we don't have their name, we can address it to the person highest responsible for that public body, and the request will be processed. One thing that I would like to mention is that Once a request is made, the public body has about 20 days to reply. An extension is permitted for about 10 days, but generally an answer must be furnished within 20 days of the receipt of the request. Many difficulties arise with accessing documents because the individual does not necessarily know whether specific information is held by a government department or other public body. If the request is too narrow, the reply will be no such document exists. If the request is too encompassing, the reply may be that the request is not acceptable because too vague, or on the other hand, it may just be that documents are too numerous. So this is really, I feel, when I look at cases before the commission, where we have the most difficulty. People just don't know what is out there.